says, a 15-year-old entrepreneur has created a new way for Aussie drivers to save money on tolls in Brisbane, Sydney and Melbourne. If you think about it, what are people going to do? They're going to start using the bot to send emails to each other. So now you've got like emails going back and forth, but between two bots, like, I don't know. Commonwealth Bank staff unleash bloodbath. It says, after a boss tells them to get back to the office. I mean, a device is a device. In my mind, I'm paying for four devices, so it shouldn't really matter, but... So welcome back to the channel. I'm Sunny and that's Charlie. So I thought I'd try something a little different this time, something a bit more casual. I won't be talking about code or doing any demos, but what I want to talk about is headlines. So today we'll talk about Netflix changing passwords, returning back to work, obviously OpenAI, and some self-development slash maybe entrepreneurial things, maybe some random things off Reddit or some things that I've picked up. So let's just get into this. So treat this more as informative entertainment type news thing. And we'll just go from there and see, you know, what this becomes. So if we just switch over. So first headline I want to talk about is Netflix is basically changing the rules on their password sharing. So if you're a Netflix user, you would probably know about this, where they've been trialing or restricting sharing passwords across different households. So there's basically an article here from ABC, and they're talking about that they'll be cracking down on passwords and sharing. So they'll probably do this by locking down or restricting IP addresses as well as device information. Charlie's fiddling around. So it says here that Netflix will only let people share an account if they live in the same household or pay an extra fee. So what they're planning to do is, if you're living outside of the same household, they will charge you $7.99. I assume that's Australian dollars per person. And it says here that you can only add people if you're on the second most expensive plan. Now, I personally am on the Ultra plan, which gives me 4K. But the main reason why I upgraded was to share it across four devices, aka family and friends. Because, you know, what a device is a device. What is the point of having multiple devices, I guess, if you have a household, kids, and everything else? But, I mean, a device is a device. In my mind, I'm paying for four devices, so it shouldn't really matter. But if they restrict this, I don't know what I'll do yet, because I'm already paying, I don't know, I think $22, $23 or something. And I don't know about paying per person and everything. It's quite annoying. I don't know. Don't know what I'll do yet. So we'll see what happens. It's apparently in effect already. I think my account hasn't changed yet, but we'll see how it goes. Because, you know, in this world today, it's so easy to subscribe to things and then forget about it. Or there's so many platforms out there. You know, I've heard of some friends doing some other things where some people are somehow providing these streaming services for one fee. And obviously it's probably not above board. But yeah, so I don't know. I guess probably YouTube is really my main thing that I watch anyway. So we'll see how we go. Let me know what your thoughts are. I'm really curious to see what people actually do. Let's talk about the next topic. So MS Build was on, and really all I got out of that was things around OpenAI. Obviously, they've got a big push at the moment, trying to put I think this Copilot thing that they're labeling, because Copilot originally came, I think, from GitHub, but, you know, Microsoft acquired GitHub some time ago. So now it looks like it's a marketing thing where they're going to use Copilot across the board. A few weeks ago, they were talking about Copilot in Microsoft Office, which is obviously in Word, Outlook, which is going to, I guess, help people save time from, you know, formulating, I guess, documents and emails. But who knows what it's going to hold, because if you think about it, what are people going to do? They're going to start using the bot to send emails to each other. So now you've got like emails going back and forth, but it's been between two bots. Like, I don't know. But anyways, they've made an announcement and they're bringing in something called Windows Copilot. Now, I don't know if you guys remember Cortana. So when Cortana came out, I thought it was the weirdest thing ever. Like, why would I want to talk to my machine? And fast forward, Now it's also cool because I've got Google Home at home, and obviously people have Alexa and Siri. And it's so weird that I guess previously, I mean, it was a crap product anyway, but now it's rebranded. Now they've got AI, and now it's going to be called Windows Copilot, which is coming in Windows 11. So that's super interesting as well. I don't know if I'll actually use it or not because, you know, you've got a web browser to do other things. So I don't know if I'll need my computer to do stuff, but, I mean, Copilot, I assume, will just replace your web browser. So that's the other announcement that I saw. Now, while we're talking about OpenAI, so ChatGPT, there's a headline here. OpenAI is rolling out a game-changing feature to ChatGPT this week. So it's already rolled out. And those two features are, man, these news articles, I'm surprised. I didn't notice how much ads are all over these pages until now. But the two features that they're bringing out is web browsing and plugins. So web browsing will allow you to basically put in a website and go summarize this website or potentially do searches. But what's funny is I read a MS Build article, and I think potentially the ChatGPT Plus is using Bing anyway. So Bing search is actually free. So yeah, I don't know what that really means, but having access to real-time data is going to be a game changer, definitely. Because right now, if you ask it certain things, like I follow it on Reddit as well, and basically the data set from GPT-3 was, I think, back in 2022 or something. So I didn't know about events post 2022. And then I don't know if GPT-4 was up to date. But in saying that, it's not real time. So having access to the internet all of a sudden changes that. And then on top of that, they're basically bringing in plugins. So plugins will obviously allow you to talk to external systems in some sort of way. I imagine plugins will potentially become, I think like scheduling and doing bookings and things potentially would just be a chat to a bot. So, you know, if you could imagine if you had a plugin, you could basically just say, book me a flight via Virgin to this destination this time, or show me, you know, the results and then confirm, book it. So plugins will be super interesting. And I haven't really played with them yet, but that's definitely going to be a game changer. So they're the two announcements this week for OpenAI. And while we're also on the topic, because, you know, OpenAI is the hot topic at the moment, is I don't know if anyone has heard of AutoGPT. Now, I haven't really looked at this too much, but if we have a look at the key differences, right, it says here, the primary difference between the two is that AutoGPT can function autonomously without the need for human agents, whereas ChatGPT requires human prompts to operate. So the example it talks about is organizing a kid's birthday. So basically, you'd have to ask ChatGPT questions on organizing a birthday, and then ChatGPT will ask you what you really want to do. As where AutoGPT would be like, help me organize a birthday party. And what it'll actually do is prompt itself. So it'll be, okay, you need a location. Okay, these are the locations. Choose, and you can potentially just get it to automatically book, I guess, locations for you, and then automatically send invites and do whatever else. I don't know how it does that, but obviously it says here, to guarantee a project's proceeding as per the user's expectations, AutoGPT will prompt for permission after each step. Okay, so I'll actually confirm. And then this will get quite interesting if this AutoGPT or ChatGPT, you know, starts getting access to financial data or credit cards and things, and then all of a sudden it's starting to book things. And you can imagine, you know, all the security around it, people's credit cards getting automatically booked on other things. I don't know. So this stuff is getting out of control. But let's talk about another topic that I think a lot of people are a bit afraid of, which is jobs being replaced by ChatGPT. And I think this could potentially be true in some scenarios, such as copywriting. But it could also be a positive where it saves you time. So rather than having templates, you can actually formulate what I hear these days is a new term, prompt engineering. And you can basically create a whole bunch of templates based on different prompts rather than just having old school templates somewhere that you use for different customers. So, you know, I thought I'd talk about a topic where people, how people are using it to save time and effort in their jobs today. So Business Insider here. So ChatGPT is making people more money and better at their jobs. Four of them break down how. So we'll talk about the first person. So a recruiter saves 10 hours a week by getting ChatGPT to list schools and institutions to target. So it says here, I just want to read, I guess, the major takeaways. So before using ChatGPT, it took me a long time, around 15 hours a week, to manually put together lists that match my criteria. Now I only spend roughly 5 hours a week making lists. So that shows you how you can use ChatGPT to sort of automatically collate data and filter it for you. And then another one is a broker uses ChatGPT to write the first drafts of listings for luxury real estates in New York. Now, you can imagine if you're trying to sell something in regional Victoria, if it's going to work for luxury real estate, it's definitely going to work for, you know, the modern property, I guess, or today's property that's selling in not so luxury places. You can see here that writing each listing for each property is a chore that could take several hours. Yeah, that's another one. Another one is an entrepreneur used ChatGPT to build a Chrome extension he sold for thousands. So, you know, the ChatGPT knows a lot of logic. I know people to this day that use it in the engineering space to help them, say, write PowerShell scripts. So rather than, I don't know anyone that can really write a PowerShell script from scratch, right? No one knows syntaxing like the top of their head, especially for things they're trying to develop that they haven't done before. So ChatGPT can save you that time and give you, I guess, the foundational piece of the script that you need, and then you can apply the logic that you understand to make it better. So there's pros and cons to everything. I do think you need to adapt or fall behind, but I don't really use it day to day because of where I work and it's not really available. And I don't know if I would, but I could see it coming. And then the other one was a CMO says ChatGPT's paid service is like having a 24/7 assistant. So this is definitely what I'm trying to do. So I'm test driving ChatGPT to see where I can use it to take out the mundane tasks, because me creating all this content takes a lot of time. Trying to write code, trying to demo it, trying to test it, trying to write the blogs, writing scripts, filming, editing, writing social media descriptions. You know, people probably don't even realize that that's a thing. You know, writing YouTube descriptions. There's a whole bunch of things. So I'm going to try and see where I can use ChatGPT as a virtual assistant, you know, the 4-hour work week, right? Tim Ferriss. So I want to see where I can leverage off this tool as a virtual assistant to save me time so I can just create content. So there's some examples there. And let's move on to our favorite topic at the moment, which is work from home. So I really wanted to read this article because really of the statements that are going around, and you can just see by this title, news.com.au, one of the most renowned for titles like this. But Commonwealth Bank staff unleash bloodbath, it says, after a boss tells them to get back to the office. That's pretty clickbait. So if you didn't know, in the news the other day, let me stop these auto videos. The headlines were the other day was that the CEO ordered 49,000 employees to return to the office. Now, obviously, that's, you know, there's some context. The context is it said that they're required to return to office at least 50% of the time. So I personally go in, try to go in like twice a week right now. I think my max would be three, and I don't know if we'd ever go back because I don't know if we have enough space for everyone considering during lockdown and all that. A lot of people were consolidating their buildings. So, you know, we never had enough space. So I'll be curious to see what happens. But I do think it will never go back to full time. Now, if it does, it is what it is, right? You can't, I don't know. I feel like people have adjusted to this comfortable life now of working from home. I don't like, you know, commuting anymore. I don't really like the hustle and bustle either. I like to live this little low-key life. I'm a bit of a homebody now. And yeah, it's kind of a good and a bad thing, right? Like we lose our social skills. Collaborating, I think, face-to-face is way easier. It's like an example is if I want to talk to someone, I can walk over, tap them on the shoulder and talk to them and that's it. But could you imagine like on Teams, you're like messaging random people. So then people get a bit standoffish, like what's this person want? And just calling people on Teams. I don't know if you guys think that's weird. I still can't adjust to people calling me on Teams without saying, hey, are you free or whatever? You know, it's weird, but we can get calls on a mobile and we just pick them up, right? So it's really weird how our minds work where it's kind of rude to just call someone abruptly on Teams, yet, you know, back in the day you call people on mobiles. Anyways, that's the times today. But yeah, this article is quite interesting. It's based, you know, it's just interesting that obviously these are publicly listed companies and they're quite big, but that these internal monologues are actually available to the public. Now, I don't know if this is above board or not, but I didn't do it. This is someone else and it's on a news website. But you can see, I don't know who this person is that wrote this comment. The technology town hall at CBA was a bloodbath. It's like, I guess, yeah. So one of the posts from Anonymous got 256 thumbs up. With many teams being split between multiple locations, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Perth, Canberra, India, etc., and most offices not having space for all engineers to be present at the same time, how should we interpret the recent announcement about 50% time in the office? I wouldn't really call that a bloodbath. But anyways, that's something interesting. Okay, so let's talk about the next topic. So this showed up in my somewhere. It showed up in one of my feeds. And it basically talks about a 15-year-old helping Australian drivers save money on tolls. Now, all he does is he collaborates with other bigger companies that are providing services like groceries and things like that. And basically, there's a kickback for spending in the store, which gets credited to your toll account. And it's such a simple thing. So it says, a 15-year-old entrepreneur has created a new way for Aussie drivers to save money on tolls in Brisbane, Sydney, and Melbourne. So it says here, Brisbane student Henry Coward, who's 15, has launched Tolls, a cashback service that gives motorists money back to spend on tolls when they shop with participating retailers. And it says retailers include the likes of Big W, HelloFresh, Subway, Virgin, and Liquorland. And then basically you get credit to your toll account. And that's, I think that's going to be a game changer. I don't know why no one has ever thought about this before. It says the amount of cash back you get will depend on the retailer. For example, Big W offers $1.75 per cashback with a minimum spend of $50. I mean, that's pretty good considering, you know, you could go to Big W and buy something for $100 and then all of a sudden you've got $3 credit, which a toll is, you know, somewhere around the $5, $6, $7 mark. So that's pretty good. Like, you know, you're spending anyway, why not receive some credits? Let's flick over to something else. So I've got a podcast here. Let me switch over. So something else I want to talk about is something I've been listening to. So I stumbled into this. I don't know how I found these guys, but it's called My First Million. And it's basically a podcast, which I think is quite entertaining because it's really banter between two guys. And the two guys is Sam Parr, and on screen we have, I think it's Sean Puri. So I think it's pronounced Shan or Shah even. And basically the dynamics of the two is Sampa, obviously both successful businessmen slash entrepreneurs slash millionaires. And I think what Sampa was mainly known for, even though he had a lot of little startups and ventures and things they did, which he sold and made money, is The Hustle, which I think started as a newsletter. Then it became something else, like a whole media company. And then it had events called HustleCon. And then I think it was purchased by a company called HubSpot. I don't know if you've heard of HubSpot. I think they purchased them. But HubSpot's very renowned for free marketing content and things like that, and as well as courses. So anything in sales, really. And then the other side is Shan Puri. He basically has a lot of startups too and a lot of experience. And he created some system, some app, I think, and it got sold to Twitch. And on top of that, he started something called Milk Road, which was a newsletter around crypto, and it got pretty big. And then I think he sold it and made all this money. So he's always got things on the go. But I'll just play the intro to show, I guess, kind of their sense of humor. So one of their recent videos, they were talking about Elizabeth Holmes and some other things.
It's like dudes in prison for like 2 decades for selling like a little bit of weed. And she's just walking out of here with she basically took maternity leave from prison. Like, what's happening? I don't understand.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it. So I just wanted to share that. And yeah, it's I find it super entertaining. They're talking about business stuff. They talk about ideas. Let me go back to it, actually. If you go look at their videos, they've got a lot of these videos with ideas, right? Things around ChatGPT. They interview people that are quite successful as well. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of things here. So, I mean, if you're into this space, self-development, improvement, making money, you know, it's a pretty cool podcast that I like listening to. I like watching podcasts more than listening, but obviously they're on podcasting platforms. So let's switch over to my other tab. How do I go back to the other tabs? So that was a good segue into the entrepreneurial space. Now let's talk about some things around cloud. So there was an announcement recently where Terraform Cloud were making updates to their plans and enhancing the free tier and more flexibility. So if you're using Terraform Cloud, it shows that they're increasing managed resources to 500. Now, I don't know who's really going to benefit from that, because I wouldn't use, you know, free services in a production workload. And if you're just prototyping things, 500 managed resources is a lot. But I mean, maybe for small businesses, it's okay to run because, you know, Terraform is more about infrastructure. So you're deploying and it could potentially just sit there. So that's not too bad for smaller entities, I think. I don't have 500 resources in any of my demos. They're also got some other things around SSO policies and run tasks. So it seems like, I think run tasks is sort of, I think, like, adding stages into your pipelines where you can do tests, validation. You can introduce some other tools to cross-check a few things. And then you've got this policy as code with Sentinel. I don't know if that actually gives you access to Sentinel, but if it does, that's a big one, because Sentinel used to be an enterprise-only option, which for me, if I wanted to create demos or anything around it, you know, I didn't have access to it. So now you can actually play with it, but I could be wrong there. But that's pretty much what it talks about here. And that's pretty much one of the updates. So, you know, I also want to talk about updates around Azure and the cloud space when they come along. So if you know of any, tag me, Twitter, email me, hello@someoneelsescloud.com. But yeah, it's hard to keep up with all the changes, but that's really the only update I have around the tech space. And then let's talk about self-development as well. So one thing that I stumbled into this week is this tool, and it's called Mimo. So it's an Android app. I don't know if it's on Apple or anything else, but it's pretty much a game-like teacher, like is it Duolingo, where it basically will ask you to interact and learn code. So I'm trying to learn Python through it, and it's very basic so far. I don't know if it gets harder, but just when it asks you a question and you have to engage and click on it and say this, that, this, it sort of stays more ingrained than just reading it. So I thought I'd share that. So this is, some random app that I found. It's free as well. So it's pretty cool. You can learn other languages, as you can see, HTML there. Okay, so let's flick over to Reddit now. So I saw this on the Azure certifications thread, which is super interesting. Someone trying to sell certificates on LinkedIn, and sell as in they will give you the certificate. So if you read the chat here, it basically says, hello. It says, they open up with this dodgy message. Thank you for connecting me. Hope you are doing well. Do you want to go for any professional certification? These certifications are internationally valid to get good job. Do you like these certificates? You can tell by the poor grammar that this is not even a bot. This is like someone typing it, right? But they could be putting poor grammar on purpose. And, you know, straight away, it sounds shady. And then so basically they follow up, hello, this guy's like, what the hell? And then they're like, do you want any certs? And he goes, of course, but why are you asking me? And then it's like, we're providing direct certificates, not training. And we are giving 100% exam clearance assurance in the first attempt. And I said, this conversation doesn't make any sense. So you're selling me something. What are you selling? Certificate vouchers for the exam? And it says, we are providing direct certificate. How? It says, direct certification means our trainer will answer all questions on your behalf and your system will be on remote. And he's like, this is illegal, this is immoral. Like, obviously it's new to him too. I've never heard of anyone doing that for anyone. Like, that's, super shady. And, I didn't know that was a thing, but to me, it sounds super shady. I wouldn't do it because having a certificate doesn't make you an engineer, doesn't give you a skill, right? It gives you knowledge. But when you get interviewed, the technical people will be able to call out your stuff. I was going to swear, but basically, you know, technical people that are switched on, they know if you're lying or not. And also, confidence is not something you can fake. And confidence generally comes from experience. So having a certificate, like I've heard of people using ChatGPT and stuff for job applications and things like that, which is fine because it might help you get in the door. But the interview is really when they're going to decide. And you can't fake it, right? Like, because if you're going for, a technical role, you're going to get interviewed by technical people. And these people will check to see if you're technically competent and if you're a likable slash a person that they can work with. So I've never been a certificates person because experience I think shines through because certificates are all theoretical, but they're a good starting point. So it depends on where you're at in your career, but this is super interesting. This is something that randomly popped up in my thread. I don't follow this, but it's called mildly infuriating. So it says, person who hacked my credit card emailed me asking why I cancelled his flight. So if you look at the email, it says, why was my flight cancelled? Could you please respond? I have a family event to attend. It's like, oh, man. So it just says here that their credit card was hacked using their Gmail account. So it probably used the single sign-on somehow. And it said it was signed up to Priceline. So Priceline is an American website where you can book flights. So obviously Priceline Australia is like a chemist, but Priceline America is where you can book flights. So basically it says here that a flight was booked, and because he was using single sign-on, he was able to get into this Priceline account and cancel it. And this person has the audacity to ask why they canceled it. It's like, so obviously mild infuriating. But then the comments below, if it's still there, this is funny because this guy goes, reminds me of when some guy has broken into my house, stole my phone, and then took a group photo with it. It automatically uploaded to my Google account along with their location. I took it to the police and they did absolutely nothing. And then he says, this photo makes me laugh every time I see it. And you got these four douchebags on a bed taking a photo. Now, it's kind of crap for someone breaking your house, take your phone. But the lighter side of things is these idiots are posting photos of themselves. So, I guess over time it would become funny. And that's really it. So I guess the last thing is, I guess I'm just going to talk about, you know, this phone that I have. So I've got the Samsung Flip. So I think if I get it close enough, you can see this little gap. So the Flip 5 is in the works, coming out in a couple of months, I think. So I've been following it, and I've got here, this is what it's going to apparently look like. So obviously the left is the Flip 4. And the next is the Flip 5. So, yeah, like I said, what I was trying to show before is this little gap. So apparently the gap is going to be gone, they reckon. So there's a new design, which I think most phones are using now, which is a teardrop design. But apparently Samsung didn't want to use it in the Flip 4 was because this teardrop design is not waterproof. So moving forward, they're going to use the teardrop design, which means that's going to be gone, but it also means it's going to be flatter and it's potentially not going to have the crease. I can't really show you the crease. The crease, I don't really notice. Yeah, I can't show you. But the crease, you can't really notice. Like people go, can you see that crease? Does it annoy you? I go, what do you mean? I bought a foldable phone. It's going to fold. It's going to have probably a crease. Like, but anyways, I think the new one's not going to have it. So I'm keeping an eye on this. And if Samsung give me a really good trade-in, because they did last year for Flip 3 users, I'm probably going to upgrade because, you know, we don't need these things. We want these things. So anyways, that's pretty much it. So I don't know how often I'm going to do these, but, you know, I want to basically I guess do something different, try new things, because right now you only see one side of me, and that side is I'm talking about code, I'm just doing demos, and it's not really that engaging at times, and I want to have something a bit more low-key, a bit more relaxed, and potentially engage with you guys, so get on the chats and even maybe go live, because I'm on 900 and something subscribers. So once I hit 1,000, maybe I'll do something like that. But who knows? You know, I'm known for being too blunt and direct, potentially and shooting myself in the foot. But yeah, so we'll see how we go with that. So anyways, stay tuned. Don't forget, if you enjoy this, subscribe. I'll probably do these quite regularly because they're not as much effort as all the other code stuff, and I need to really get on the hustle to get my subscribers up. So anyways, I'm going to sign out, and yeah, I'll see you later. See ya! It's one small step for- Touchdown!